Isn't science just awful? Science ruins everything, doesn't it? It's because of science that we know there are no unicorns. We had to go out and explore and look around and find that there aren't any one-horned animals. Nothing you could even pretend was a unicorn. I know some of you may be thinking, well, what about the rhinoceros? But no, that's basically just a fingernail growing off its nose. Maybe you're thinking narwhal. No, it's a tooth growing out its head. True horns don't come in singles. You had to have more than one or zero. Science has also shown us other things, like there is a speed limit to this universe. You cannot go faster than light speed. Your idea of instantaneous travel, fun as that may be, is not going to happen. And isn't that what we strive for? To do things instantly, that we can have them now. We can have things taken care of immediately, that our struggles can be done away with quickly, that the good things in life can come immediately. I remember the Dark Ages, a time when if you wanted to change the channel, you had to get up off the couch and do it yourself. You couldn't just push a button. If you wanted to watch a movie, you had to take the DVD and put it in the DVD player. Remember those dark days? Days before Netflix streaming? That now you can just turn it on. Oh, loading time, come on. Okay, here we go, 10,000 movies. Oh, here's a good one. Buffering! Who has time for that? Come on. We want things instantly. We want them taken care of immediately. That's the promise of sci-fi shows, right? That when you want a meal, you take a little pill and you put it in what looks suspiciously like a microwave. And when you push the button, immediately, turkey dinner pops out. Ready to go, like that. Now, we've come close. We have some prepackaged foods. We have things that you can just microwave and they'll be ready. Gone are the bad days where making pasta sauce meant dealing with real tomatoes, cutting them up and leaving them in a pot for hours to let them cook down to a sauce. Now you open up a can of Prego, 2 minutes in the microwave, you're ready to go. But instant just eludes us. It's a pain to have to persevere through the difficult things in life, things that don't yield immediate results, where the first time doesn't do it. Things like flossing. Ain't nobody got time for that. Go to the dentist, like, you know, your gums wouldn't bleed if you would floss more often. No, thank you. I'll let my gums bleed once or twice a year when I come and see you. I don't have time to floss. Do you know how many teeth I have? There's a lot of... You need an all-at-once flosser, a mouth guard with floss everywhere, and just flossing done. Want it taken care of like that. And yet, there are still many good things in life that demand perseverance, that demand the slow, hard path. That if we want to see results, that if we want to get reward at the end, we have to stick with it. The first try almost certainly won't make it. But if we stick with it, if we persevere to the end, it'll be worth it. Today, of course, we're in Psalm 119 again, and we're talking about perseverance in our Christian faith. Sticking with what we know and believe. Last week we talked about affliction and comfort. Now we see, along with that, perseverance. I'm going to be reading starting in verse 81, Psalm 119, verse 81 through 96. I'm reading from the NIV. My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. My eyes fail looking for your promise. I say, when will you comfort me? Though I am like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your decrees. How long must your servant wait? When will you punish my persecutors? The arrogant dig pitfalls for me, contrary to your law. All your commands are trustworthy. Help me, for men persecute me without cause. They almost wiped me from the earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. Preserve my life according to your love, and I will obey the statutes of your mouth. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You established the earth, and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Save me, for I am yours. I have sought out your precepts. The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. To all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your commands, for your laws, for your word that you share with us this morning. We ask that you would open our hearts that we may hear from you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Here we see the psalmist talking about perseverance. What it takes to be preserved by God. And the first thing we see is that perseverance is painful. Perseverance is painful. If it wasn't painful, we wouldn't say you had to persevere it. We wouldn't say, oh, you really had to endure your trip to Disney World. Disney World is meant to be a fun and exciting time. Something you do because you want to. It's the happiest place on earth. It's not, man, I finally made it through Disney World. I'm glad I stuck it out to the end because I can finally check that off my list, but boy, was it rough. Maybe if you ride It's a Small World. Don't want to do that too many times, I guess. We have to persevere when it's a painful experience. The things that we don't want to do, where it's difficult. Even things like going on a hike that take a few steps, sure, no problem, I'm willing to step out of my car and read a plaque. But that's not really a hike. A hike means you had to put some effort in. You had to travel over probably a trail that's a little bit rougher than a sidewalk, or at least has some type of incline to it. Otherwise, you're probably just calling it a walk. You have to stick with it because there's a little bit of effort involved. It's painful. For my birthday, I asked Angela if we could get a pull-up bar in our house. That was something I thought maybe could improve me a little bit, and like exercise and diet, something that if you stick with it, could be good. I found out pretty quickly that I could only do sets of zero. I could not do pull-ups. That no matter where I put the pull-up bar, I was not able to get my chin above it. So that was a little bit difficult. Angela suggested, helpfully, I could stand on a chair. So talk about lowering the bar. I could not do it. It was painful, and it took me a while to work up to a single pull-up. But then wasn't that great to be able to make it to see over that bar to the wall, actually, is what I can see. But to stick with it despite the difficulty that for many people say, there's a reason I don't exercise. I think pain is my body's way of telling me, don't do that. And I listen to it. Perseverance can be painful. That you have to stick with it despite the hardship. And that's what the psalmist says. He says in verse 81, my soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I put my hope in your word. My eyes fail looking for your promise, and I say, when will you comfort me? Though I am like a wineskin in smoke, I do not forget your decrees. While facing difficult times, he still hopes in the Lord. That through the difficulty, he must persevere. Perseverance is painful. Something that we must deal with. I don't think anyone intentionally chooses to do things the hard, painful, and slow way. That if you were able to mow your lawn at the push of a button, most of us would go ahead and use that button. We wouldn't say, nah, I kind of want to walk around the yard and get my shoes green. Say, sure, boop, huh, short grass. I like that. That we don't choose and seek out perseverance, and yet, not only is perseverance painful, but perseverance is necessary. Perseverance is necessary. There is no easy path that is given us in this life. That as Christians, we are told that we will face times of difficulty, times of affliction, times when we need comfort. We must persevere. The psalmist says that he is like a wineskin in the smoke. Well, that's a great saying, isn't it? How many times have you come into work on Monday and they're like, how was your weekend? Like a wineskin in smoke. You know, like if there was a wineskin and smoke was on it. It's kind of like that. Kind of smoky wineskins. Well, I'm taking it as a bad thing. But like a wineskin in smoke, you're not going to be much use. Maybe you look like beef jerky. I don't know. He doesn't explain this, and I don't know enough of the Hebrew idioms to know why wineskin and smoke would be considered bad. But I do know this. There are many ways we describe affliction. There are many ways that we describe our hardships that we face. And yet, we must persevere through them. That as Christians, we are called on to continue despite the troubles of this world. If being a Christian meant having your life transformed to one of ease, people would sign up like crazy. Ah, man, have you become a Christian yet? No, I haven't. But you know how Christians are always healthy and rich? How they're so smart? They always know exactly what's going on, and they always have a smile on their face, and they're great people? You know, the easy life, the Christian way. No. The Christian life is one where we will face hardship, and yet we are called on to persevere. Luckily, we have help. Verse 88, for instance. Preserve my life according to your love, and I will obey the statutes of your mouth. And then he says, the next verse is here. Verse 90, your faithfulness continues through all generations. Verse 93, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Perseverance is necessary, but it's also something that we are not left on our own to deal with. We are not left to persevere through our own strength, our own trial, and just, well, maybe if you read your Bible a little bit more and you pray a little bit more, then this Christian life will work out for you. We are called to persevere, and yes, it is necessary, but it is also something that is given to us by God. That God preserves us. That He is willing to do the hard work to see us through times that we would not make through otherwise. If you think of movies, you see perseverance in torture scenes, right? Where the hero is caught, and now they need to get some information from him. And so it's time to torture, get out the car battery. You know, I've never seen, I guess, torture in real life, but I have been to the dentist, so I think I know a thing or two about it. And there's only so much that you can endure. That when you go to the dentist, at least, they are willing to drill out your teeth. And when you finally can't take it anymore, they try to push you over the edge by giving you the bill. James Bond, when he faces it, he's beaten, struck. And the hero in the movie is always able to make it through. They know that their way is right. That if they can just keep their mouth shut a little bit longer, they can keep the nuclear codes safe. They can save the world through putting up with a little bit of damage to their face. That they can say, hit me again, I'll never speak. For us, we don't have to face it alone. We are not called to be lone heroes facing the afflictions of this world and told to just grin and bear it. But as Christians, we have one who stands beside us and who preserves our life. That the psalmist says that it is the word of God that he turns to. Preserve my life according to your love, and I will obey the statutes of your mouth. Save me, for I am yours. I have sought out your precepts. The psalmist turns back to the word of God, to the commands that God has given us of how to direct his life, how to direct our lives today, and finds in them the way to persevere. the way to get through this life, the difficult times in this life that we face and are able to overcome because of the work of God. Perseverance can be very painful, but it is necessary. It is necessary because the promises of Scripture do not come to those who attend a church service every once in a while. They do not come to those who just as a child showed up to Sunday school because their parents made them go. The rewards of Scripture come to those who live their Christian faith, who have been preserved by God to the end, who know not just what it's like to sit through a sermon, which can be somewhat boring, but who know what it's like to turn away from unrighteousness time and time again, to live a holy life, whatever the consequences. That we are preserved as Christians through the work of Christ, through the work that He did in living His sinless life, dying on the cross, being risen again, through the sending of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. We are preserved until the end. The Bible promises us that we who are in the Father's hand cannot be snatched away, that He holds us tight and safe to the end, that we will be preserved by God. Perseverance can be painful, but it is necessary. We follow through because God preserves us. It is necessary, and perseverance is rewarded. It is painful, it is necessary, but ultimately it is rewarded. We know that in the end, if we stick with it, good things come. That there is a final reward. That's the way, the reason why we stick with almost anything, that we believe there is a reason not to give in, not to give up. So we take that hike to see the view from the top of the mountain. We stick with a diet or an exercise program because we know it can make a difference in the long term. We floss our teeth because we just like having teeth. We know if we stick with it, there is a reward. And in the Christian faith, being preserved by God, we know that there is a reward that is coming. That there is an eternity of reward that we look forward to. Here the psalmist gives us an idea of what God's faithfulness and this reward looks like. Verse 89 says, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You established the earth, and it endures. Your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you." God is faithful. And His faithfulness is shown by the reward that we look forward to. That there is a reward we see in the next life, a reward for those that persevere, who have made it through a faithful life by the will of God and through His Spirit, that do look forward to a time when the evil of this world is wiped off, when there is no more flossing that needs to be done, when we can enjoy heaven with Christ, with our Father forever. But there is also a reward of perseverance that comes in this life. The rewards of Scripture are not merely for the time ahead when we have died, but there is reward for persevering, for faithful living today. We know that in the end, it does not come down to the amount of obedience that we had in our life that determines our entry to heaven. And so, even in the early church, there were people who said, if we can get to heaven and still do whatever we want on earth, maybe I'll take the easy way. And yet there are rewards for faithful living, for perseverance on earth. We know in this passage, the psalmist turns to the law of God as a way of getting him through the tough times. That when he has, like in verse 85, his enemies digging pitfalls for him, he is secure knowing that he can follow the Word of God. And that's because the Word of God not only shows us God's care for us, it not only shows us God's plan for this world and for those of us who follow him. But it also gives you ways of dealing with the hard times. Knowing that all things serve the Lord. Verse 91, your laws endure to this day, for all things serve you. Simply understanding that we live in a world where everything is under the dominion of our God. That everything serves him to one extent or another. That he can make use of even the times that we feel must merely be endured. That hope that we have that the things we go through are used by God. There is a reason behind this world that he can make something of even the ashes that we face. We can grow stronger knowing that God has a plan for us. That in the same way, following a life of obedience and faithfulness, we can see changes in our life occur that do not happen in the people of this world. That we can enjoy life more because we're living in a righteous way. That the lack of freedom that some say Christianity brings is a list of things you cannot do really does bring us freedom to enjoy creation the way God would have us enjoy it. That we are rewarded through perseverance in this life when we see families in the church come to know God, parents who are able to raise up godly children, who go on to a life of faithfulness, who are able to enjoy their time in the faith, generation after generation, passing the message down. And even when it doesn't work out that way, even when faithful parents have children who reject church, we know that God is faithful. That we may not see the end of his plan. The things the psalmist points to are not quick answers. The faithfulness of the Lord that continues through all the generations. The standing firm of the heavens, the establishment of the earth, the enduring of the world, word of God. Things that we may never see completed in our lifetime, but that God has promised to use to further his kingdom, to bring people under his love, that we may know him more. Perseverance can be very painful. We can face very difficult times. God calls us to trust in him and have faith no matter what we are going through. That in our darkest hour, we know there is one who preserves our life. One who will bring us to his reward in the end. The psalmist rejoices in the faithfulness of God. And he ends this section saying this, to all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. What we know of this world will one day pass away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And we who are called according to his love and mercy, in whom his spirit lives, will enjoy forever with God as well. We face difficult times. When we make it to the end, we find that God has carried us all along and has called us now to enjoy his reward. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy, for the fact that you preserve our lives and that you give us your scripture, that you are able to get us through the deepest and darkest times of our life. We thank you for the blessing of the church, that we have others to encourage us and to stand beside us. We ask that you would help us to minister to those who do not know this love and mercy you have for us, who endure the world but do not look forward to the reward that we do. Lord, touch our hearts and use us to touch theirs. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.